This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Plastic Surgery Information Channel. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience, simply at eHealth Radio. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Jonathan Grant, board-certified plastic surgeon located in Metro Seattle, Washington, who is here today to speak with us about the mini lift procedure. Dr. Grant, welcome back to eHealth Radio.
Thanks. Pleasure to be here.
You're welcome. So to kick things off, tell us, what is a mini lift?
You know, that is an excellent question. There's not really a truly simple, concise answer. I would say in general, most facial plastic surgeons are going to tell you it's like an abbreviated version of a quote unquote full facelift. But that brings you to the question of, well, what is a full facelift? All that really is surgeon dependent. One surgeon's full facelift may be the same as another surgeon's mini lift and vice versa. I can tell you in my practice, essentially a mini facelift is one where you're trying to limit the incisions around the ear just a little bit, and you're limiting incisions underneath the chin. And you have a little bit less dissection underneath the skin in an effort to try to minimize downtime. Your trade-off for that is, you know, you're trying to get, you're going for a natural aesthetic, and you're trying to attenuate or limit your expected recovery time.
And what are your recommendations for someone who is considering a mini lift?
So, you know, someone who's considering a mini lift, I think you should pretty much take, you know, the word mini lift connotes that this is less of a serious undertaking than a quote unquote full facelift. But in truth, you know, they're very related procedures. I think you should be just as cautious in making your decisions about a mini lift as you should in making decisions about more extensive facial procedures. First and foremost, research your surgeon. Make sure you find someone that you're comfortable with. Make sure you meet with them in person before you pick a date for your procedure. You should have your medical history screened thoroughly to make sure that this looks like a case that's not only appropriate for you from an aesthetic standpoint, but, you know, it needs to be medically appropriate as well. You got to make sure that there's no issues related to anesthesia or your general health concerns. Other things, you know, a mini lift is probably a little bit more conservative approach to facelifting. Sometimes, and your surgeon should go over this with you as well, you need something a little more extensive. I would say the area that's the most difficult to treat with the mini lift is underneath the chin and the neck. Laxity underneath the chin, it does typically improve with the mini lift. In my practice, we see great results there. However, if that's your primary concern, I usually advise patients considering a mini lift, look, I can improve that with the mini lift, but don't be surprised if there's still a little bit of residual laxity or fullness down there afterwards, because it's more limited. It's more limited work that's done underneath the chin for those procedures.
What are reasons that someone would choose the mini lift procedure?
That's a great question. I would say typically mini lift is something people will elect to do because they want to have less downtime, and they're looking for a more natural aesthetic and the results that they're expecting or hoping for. Additionally, they're often willing to allow for a little bit of residual laxity just to make sure something looks natural and appears conservative, and that it carries less risk. You have the same risks in a mini lift as you do with other, you know, more extensive facial procedures, but because there's typically a little bit less work that's done underneath the skin surface, you can expect that, you know, the relative risk of things like prolonged healing time or recovery time, extensive bruising, swelling, and infection, those are all attenuated risks typically as well. Another thing too is because it's slightly less of an extensive facelift procedure, a lot of people choose a mini lift because it doesn't cost as much. And, you know, in my practice, I use IV sedation for the majority of these procedures, but the IV sedation doesn't last as long. So if you're someone who does have, you know, a little bit more tenuous a medical condition involving, you know, your heart or your lungs such that you want to minimize, you know, anesthesia or IV sedation time, MiniLift might be a better approach for you.
Today we are speaking with Dr. Jonathan Grant, board-certified plastic surgeon located in Metro Seattle, Washington, here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Dr. Grant, what does a MiniLift entail, and what is recovery like?
Sure, be glad to. So in a MiniLift, in my hands, and again, everybody's a little bit different, but in my hands, I use very similar incisions around the ears. Basically, what we're doing is we're borrowing the little grooves and the natural skin folds that appear around the contour of the ear where it attaches to the side of the head and the cheek. In front of the ear, it hides in these folds. In men, it's a little bit in front of the ear so you don't bring the beard back all the way to the ear canal. But in women, I really hug some of the tissues at the front, some of those folds at the front part of the ear in front of the ear canal. An incision continues along those folds around the earlobe, again, hugging really close to the earlobe where it joins the cheek. It goes up the back of the ear and then back to the hairline at the point where the top of the outside ear is still able to conceal the track of the scar line or the incision as it's going into the hair-bearing scalp. So that's the incision around the ear. Underneath the chin, it's a really limited, small, just a couple of 3 millimeters incision, just big enough for me to pass a liposuction cannula through. The next step is essentially the skin is lifted off of skin and superficial tissues are lifted off of the outside part of the cheek near the ear and, you know, across the jawline into the neck just a little bit. Again, this is relatively superficial elevation of tissue. It's not deeply invading deeper structures of this area. And then you identify a layer of connective tissue, which is more fibrous, called the SMAS. It's S-M-A-S. It's an acronym for a much larger term. But you identify the SMAS because it's got your structural integrity. And then you can either fold that back on itself and tighten it and secure it with sutures, or you can make what we call a SMAS flap. That is, you make a small incision in the SMAS, and then you elevate it a little bit to get a little bit more mobility, and then you again fold that back and you pleat it, or you layer it almost like shingles in the cheek. You then secure that with stitches, which are dissolvable, but they last long enough to hold things in place while your body heals the support of the lift to give you longevity of benefit. I then directly, as I'm looking at it, will trim fatty tissues in the cheek and the outside of the neck, and I'll pass a liposuction cannula underneath the jawline to contour and shape the neck underneath the jawline. The incision is enclosed with dissolvable sutures. I do typically use drains as well to minimize risk of collecting fluid and minimize swelling the night after surgery, but those typically, and those go in the skin through an incision behind the ear in the hair-bearing scalp so you don't see the scar, and those usually come out the day after surgery. In terms of recovery, for a MiniLift, we, you know, in truth, full healing is really occurring for about 12 months after surgery. We advise most of our patients that really, you know, time away from work recovery is somewhere between 1.5 and 2 weeks. We do have some patients that go back to work at a week once their stitches come out, but most of our patients, we're telling them, be cautious and just give yourself, you know, 1.5 to 2 weeks at least to be able to recover. During the recovery period, there's expected to be a little bit of numbness across the areas involved in the surgery, in the cheek and parts of the neck, but you don't usually have a lot of frank pain. We do give you pain medication, but we also have you restrict your activities such that only a light activity is allowed or recommended at any rate. We don't advocate for rigorous exercise during this period of time. We also have you sleep with your head elevated to help keep down the swelling and bruising that can develop overnight if your head is in a more recumbent position.
Certainly very helpful information in all regards. Lastly, Dr. Grant, are there any complications associated with a MiniLift?
Typically, MiniLifts are very common, and I would say because it's not as extensive a procedure, just in terms of how much work is done underneath the skin surface, you don't see as many complications, but, you know, with any surgery, you can have some complications. There's always risk for any time you have an incision in the skin of getting scarring that you don't like. It's uncommon, but it can occur. You can also have infection. But in my practice, we give our patients a very short course of antibiotics by mouth, or we give them a single dose in the operating room through the IV if they're getting IV sedation to minimize that risk for infection. Additionally, I'd say the thing you can or you expect to see most commonly, and it only happens maybe in somewhere between 4 and 10% of patients, is what we call a hematoma or a fluid collection. That's where you basically have some bleeding that occurs underneath the skin after the surgery's been completed. That usually can be addressed with either keeping your drain in an additional day, or you may occasionally, in very, very rare circumstances, would you have to remove some stitches and evacuate the clot from that bleeding and then possibly cauterize something. Most of the time, conservative management with continued use of a drain or maybe aspiration with a needle in the clinic during your follow-up appointment the day after surgery can take care of that. You also do expect some numbness that can take weeks to months to resolve after surgery. With any facelift procedures, there's always some risk of injury to nerve branches of the face that move muscles of the face. I'd say with many lift procedures, this is a very, very, very low risk of injury to those nerve branches because, again, it's not aggressive or extensive surgery.
Well, Dr. Grant, it certainly has been helpful information in all regards covering the mini lift procedure. Tell us, where can listeners find more information about your practice in Metro Seattle, Washington, and how can they be in touch as well?
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show. I enjoyed being here. You're more than welcome to visit our website at www.cascadeface.com. You can also call us at the office at 360-336-1947, and we'd be happy to address your concerns or any questions that you may have.
Well, once again, Dr. Grant, thanks for being with us, and certainly look forward to a future conversation right here on eHealth Radio.
Appreciate it. It was a pleasure.
And the pleasure was certainly ours. We have been speaking with Dr. Jonathan Grant, board-certified plastic surgeon located in Seattle, Washington. And for more information and for contact, it's CascadeFace.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.